News Talk 790 KFYO 708, Tom and Laura Lubbock's First News Monday. Welcome back. And welcome back, Ambassador Tibor Nowes Jr. How are
morning.
You?
Morning. Great to be here. Beautiful Monday morning.
Have you been traversing the globe, or where have you been, man?
No, I've just been traversing the region. I may be doing a little more traversing over the next couple of weeks, so good to be back with you guys.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you in. And you've got an upcoming article in the AJ that
there should be one out.
Watching for?
There should be one out, sometime next week about Russia and the Ukraine.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll be looking forward to that article.
Well, Laura, over the past 7 or 8 months, there have been about 40 instances where Russian jets are, pushing in the boundary of NATO airspace.
And a submarine. Remember, the Swedes detected an unknown submarine, quote-unquote, that had to be Russian in their waters.
This kind of reeks of way back when, you would...
back in the USSR.
Right. When we were kids. That's what it reminds me of.
Well, Mr. Putin likes to flex his muscles because he can. And that's what he's doing, is they're pushing all of our buttons. They know that we may intercept them. We're not going to shoot them out of the sky. And one of the things they're doing is testing to see what our and our allies' interception capabilities are. See how far they can get or how close they can get.
He's been deemed the most powerful man in the world.
That's right. Exact. Fortune magazine. Yep. Absolutely. That's he himself, because I think he is playing his cards that he has been dealt the best possible way. At the same time, other leaders, including ours, have much stronger hands, but they just don't know how to play their cards.
Yeah, I guess the thing is a lot of it has to do with being a little egocentric.
Well, also, I think a lot of it has to do with he has his goals, his strategy. He knows where he wants to get to, which is rebuild as much of the USSR as possible, and he knows where he can exercise force and where he can't. We, on the other hand, right now we look like the big international doofus. There's no better way to say it.
We look like it?
And we act like it. So, you look like it, you act like it. Unfortunately, you are. The good news is we have so much more going for us, especially in the longer term, that with proper leadership, with proper policies, we could be doing a heck of a lot better. And we should be.
Yeah. Well, there's...
Whether we will remains to be seen.
Well, it's going to be interesting with the new Republican Senate. Mm-hmm. And how they are going to interact with President Obama, because it's the executive, and with Senate oversight. And you're going to have a whole new cast of characters, and I think you're going to have some very, very different policies coming out, too.
Do you think? We're really going to see some difference here.
I think in a couple of areas we're going to see some big differences with how Obama will have to interact with this Senate versus the last Senate, including a couple of positives, like the Trans-Pacific trade deal. I think now there's a much better chance of getting that trade deal with a Republican-controlled Senate than it would have been with the Democratic-controlled Senate.
And what is that exactly? What does that mean for us?
Well, basically it's a trade deal involving 40% of the world's economy. All the major Pacific countries, including the United States, is a Pacific country. Mm-hmm. So it's basically all the major Pacific countries except China coming up with a free trade agreement. And the Japanese are, in this case, actually, the Japanese are going to be the most difficult, because they have some trade priorities which are contravene ours directly. For example, supporting their small farmers, because they have a very, very inefficient agricultural sector as opposed to ours. But that can be worked out. And as we know, the Republicans are much more in favor of free trade than the Democrats, because one of the Democrats' constituencies, the unions, are very much against it. So we'll see that. But that's a positive one. But then there's several places where it's going to be much more difficult for President Obama now, with Senator John McCain sitting as chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee. For example,
well, currently the president is striking a deal where student visas would be extended to 5 years, and then the business visas would be extended to 10.
Yeah. That
with China specifically.
Yeah, and that can be very, very helpful because, I mean, we're in a global competition to get the best and the brightest students coming here. A huge business interest with China, and I would much rather them come to the United States with proper controls because we don't want them taking our nuclear secrets back with them. But Chinese students are a phenomenal enhancement to the U.S. educational system.
Well, this is one thing that, you know, that bumfuzzles me. It kind of worries me because, you know, we bring all these people in. We're, you know, improving their access to everything that we have. Yet, you know, we're also subject to cyber attacks and things like that from all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that all those things are just the IT guy's problem. It's not like that anymore.
No, not at all.
We were talking about this on Friday, Laura and I. There were, 53 million emails compromised with Home Depot.
Yeah.
And, you know, now in all these stores, they say, would you like a printed receipt or electronic receipt? I have not yet once utilize the electronic receipt.
Exactly.
And the thing is, and people say, well, why? Because that's, your email's not. And that's what your email's not. And I shop there a lot.
And what you're doing is you're opening a door, you know, that you may not necessarily want to have opened. Yeah, I can understand the philosophy of the email receipts, but I don't want any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. 51 degrees in Seminole, Texas, Wolford, 45 right now. News Talk 790 KFYO. The current temperature is 49 degrees. Good morning. It's 21 minutes after the hour. Monday morning, Lubbock's First News, Tom Laura, and in the studio, Ambassador T. Bornage Jr., Vice Provost of International Affairs, Texas Tech University. Thanks for being with us this morning. Welcome back to the program.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. We were talking about Russia and Putin trying to reassemble what he can, what would resemble the USSR of yesteryear.
Right, exactly.
However, if you look at the way things have happened historically, when we provide weapons, legitimate weapons that are able to actually stand up to the weaponry of what Russia has to put forth.
Mm-hmm. We've been very successful in the short term and then questionable in the long term. It depends on who you give them to. Because remember when the Afghan war was going on with the Russians, they were wreaking havoc with the Afghans until we gave the Afghans proper weapons. They started shooting the Soviet helicopters out of the sky. The Soviets hightailed it out of Afghanistan, but unfortunately, we stopped at that point, and the Taliban took over. Because it was one of those things where the U.S. foreign policy doesn't carry through to the end of the day. You know, it was 9 o'clock in the evening, and we said, okay, we're out of here. So instead of staying with the Afghans, it turned into the Taliban's Afghanistan. Now, say Ukraine and Russia. Ukraine's a legitimate government. They had nuclear weapons, if you remember, and they voluntarily gave them up under the proviso that we give up the nuclear weapons and you guarantee our security. Well, it's always easy for the U.S. to sign a piece of paper, but then, you know, actually carrying it forward becomes a problem. Well, we have not provided for their security. We could, with one fell swoop, provide the Ukrainians with lethal weapons, which they could use against the Russian-backed separatists, and that would send a real message to Putin, saying that, yeah, we, the United States, are a global power, we have global responsibilities, and when we agree to something, then we will stand by it. But this thing that, you know, one administration signs a promise, and then the next administration kind of says, oops, no, we didn't really mean that. It has hurt us for decades, you know, with allies and adversaries alike. You know, remember the old Chinese used to call the U.S. a paper tiger kind of thing because we got our butts kicked in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And it was thankfully for Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger who took a very, very weak geopolitical hand, you know, on the eve of our retreat from Vietnam. And then by the end of their administration, despite Watergate, they had reestablished U.S. presence and power and prestige in the world just with some of their expert maneuvering. And that's what we desperately need now, because we are just as powerful as we have ever been. Other countries are less powerful. There is no more Soviet Union. China's still trying to emerge. But our capability, our diplomatic, our geopolitical capability is null, because it's a gang who couldn't shoot straight. You know, unfortunately, Washington, especially the foreign policy establishment, is full of a bunch of amateurs that just don't know how to apply tactics to strategy, for example, or even look ahead and see what is the end game. Look how many times our objectives in Syria have changed just over the last year. From Assad has to go to now, Assad would be the savior of Syria from this administration's point of view.
Yeah. Do you think this is because we've appointed our friends to these positions to advise making our foreign policy decisions? I mean, it's almost like this is on the job training when you say amateur, but it's like, I think it's this mentality in, I'm very uncomfortable with this because I'm always pro defense.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
I'm always pro defense.
Yep.
But a lot of people have this idea that this is America, land of the free, home of the brave, and nobody can mess with us.
Yeah,
But
you can't play by the same rules that we've done in the past, because things are different in the world.
Yeah, right? Well, they are. But people forget we have a quiver full of arrows, and one of those arrows, as you say, but another one is our diplomatic service. We have a very, very competent State Department with people who have been out there and understand their country. This administration doesn't use our diplomatic service. He uses a group of czars. You know, the czar for this, the czar for that, and he uses the National Security Council, which are a bunch of these, well, I don't want to say amateurs, but a lot of them have academic backgrounds, but not real experience, like Susan Rice, you know, very smart person, but really doesn't understand that much of the world. We have soldiers, very competent soldiers who advise him. They're not listened to, you know, they weren't listened to on Iraq. Who said, let's please keep a residual force behind to stiffen the spines of the Iraqis. You know? No.
We pulled them out, and now we're sending them back in.
Exactly. Now we're sending them back in through stealth mode.
But he was being pressured to get those people back home.
Well, except, again, a great leader, Reagan, even Nixon. Do you think they would have been pressured if they thought that it was in the interest of the United States of America to keep behind 10,000?
Here's the thing. We're sending back in 1,500
right.
more.
Yeah.
And with a request of $6 billion with a B, $6 billion mm-hmm. dollars to fund it.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out earlier off mic, this happened one day. This happened on November the 5th. I mean, he knew that it needed to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
But he didn't want to do it.
Pure irony, you know, just by happers chance, you know, I'm sure. Yeah, political cynicism to the extreme, guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Hillary Clinton is a dummy or anything. Mm. However,
good. I don't think that would be an accurate description.
The thing is, though, is somebody with a political agenda as she has, was it really beneficial for us to have her in the State Department?
Not at all. She was laying her candidacy forward. Nope. Okay. Thanks, guys.